Okay, so I want to introduce you to the din of Chazara, din Shehiya, and in order to do so, you have to really understand well the first Mishnah, first Gemara in the third paragraph of Masechet Shabbos. It's a technical Gemara, but we're going to try and explain it slowly and clearly. So the Mishnah says Kira. So first of all, Kira. Does anyone know what a Kira is?
A certain type of stove.
Right. So there, in the Gemara, there are three types of ovens. There's three types of ovens. There is something called a kupach. A kupach is a square oven, basically, where you put the esh underneath. It holds one pot. You put the top on top, and that's what's known as a kupach. Because it's one, it has only one cavity of one place for a pot. So there's enough fire in there for one pot, and that develops a certain level of heat, but not the hottest. Then you have something called a kira. A kira is a double oven. It has space. It's a double kupach. It's got two ovens over here, two stoves. You can have room for two pots. Because it's got two stoves, essentially, that enables it to get hotter than a kupach. It's hotter than a kupach. And then you have something called a tanur. And a tanur is a triangular oven. Looks something like this. You put the fire underneath, and it sits on top. And because it angles up in that fashion, you put the pot on top, it retains heat. The heat does not escape. The kupach looks like this. A kira is a double kupach. A tanur is like this. It retains heat. And the Gemara is going to tell us there's different dinim for a kupach, a kira, and a tanur based on the level of heat retention, tanur being the hottest. And the poskim say very clearly that bizman hazeh, we treat our ovens today as a kira. So the kira is really the one that's going to be relevant for us. So the Mishnah tells us as follows. Kira shehi sikua bekash uvegvava. If you have a kira that is fueled with kash and gvava. Kash and gvava is straw. Gvava is also easily very, very quick kindling. It doesn't get very hot because it burns out very quickly. No smalea tavshil. You can go ahead and put a tavshil on it. It says no smalea tavshil. Begefes uveitzim. But if the fire is fueled with something more significant, real wood, gefes and eitzim, real firewood, then lo yitain. You're not allowed to put food on the fire. Ad sheyigrof, until you do either grufa. What does grufa mean? Until you rake away the coals. You get rid of the coals. That's called grufa. O ad sheyitain es ha'efer. Or until you do what? You put ash on top. So here, our ovens are kira. What kind of, when we fuel our ovens, do we have decent fuel in our ovens?
Yeah.
Decent fuel, so that's gefes uve eitzim. And the Mishnah tells us, lo yitain ad sheyigrof o ad sheyitain es ha'efer. In order to put food on that fire, you need to first either do grufa, sweep away the coals, or ketuma, cover up the coals with ash. So far, so good? There's a big, big piece of vagueness in this Mishnah. What is the big vagueness in the Mishnah? Very vague. What? That's something the Mishnah is going to clarify now with Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Before we get to that, we're not going to get to that, but there's another big vagueness of the Mishnah, really vague. What does the Mishnah say? What can't you do? It says, lo?
Yitain.
It says, don't put. Okay, I got that. What's missing over here?
Closing.
When don't put. When don't put. Two possibilities. Don't put on Erev Shabbos, or don't put on Shabbos itself. So the Gemara jumps on that point right away. Iboilu, when the Mishnah says, now which one's going to be worse, by the way? Which one's going to be, in your mind, more chamor? Erev Shabbos or Shabbos? Which one's going to be more chamor? Which one's going to be more chamor? Right, Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos is more chamor, meaning, if I tell you, you're not allowed to put it on the fire on Shabbos, does that tell me anything about Erev Shabbos?
Not directly. Maybe you couldn't.
If I can't, so the Mishnah says like this. Iboilu, when it says in the Mishnah, hi, lo yitain, does it mean lo yachzir? What does lo yachzir mean? You're not allowed to return it on the fire on Shabbos. And that's what's usher. putting it back on the fire on Shabbos. What does that tell you about Erev Shabbos?
Mutter.
Avalishos. But to leave it on the fire on Erev Shabbos, Mashin. Af al pi she'eno goruf ve'eno kotun umani chanan yohi. Is the Mishnah telling me that the Mishnah means, lo yite means chazara, and really shihia, I'm using terms now that I want to just define, shihia means putting the food on the fire on Erev Shabbos would be mutter, and then the Mishnah is according to Chananya. I'm skipping the Braisa for now. Odilma. Skip the Braisa for a second. Go to Odilma. Or do we assume Odilma lishos tnan? What does lishos tnan mean? When it says lo yiten, it doesn't mean lo yiten on Shabbos. It means lo yiten afilu Erev Shabbos. And what does that mean with Chazara on Shabbos itself? Is certainly aser. Odilma lishos tnan v'igaref v'katim in ilo lo v'kol shekein lahachzir. But certainly to put it on the fire when on Shabbos itself will for sure be aser. So this is how you read this Mishnah is actually machlokas between Chananya and Chacham. According to Chananya, when can't you put the food on the fire? You can't put the food on the fire. Chananya says aser on Shabbos, implying that can you put it on the fire on Erev Shabbos? Yes, you can. According to Chachamim, not only can you not put the food on the fire on Shabbos, you can't put the food on the fire even on an Erev Shabbos, and Kolshken, it's aser on Shabbos itself. So now let's just read that Braisa, back to the Braisa. So, Umani Chananya, Hiditanya, Chananya Omer, Kol Shehu, Kemaychel Ben Drusoy. If the food has already been cooked, how much? Which is what?
Half or a third.
Mutter l'shahosu al gabe kira. You're allowed to leave it on the fire on Erev Shabbos al gabe kira. Afilu eno garf eno katim. Odilma lishos tonight, as we said, igarf katim in ilo lo v'kol shekein lahachzir. This is a fundamental machlokes between Chananya and Chachamim whether there is an iser of shehiyah. Everyone agrees. There is an Isser of Chazar. There is a question whether there's an Isser of Shehiyah. Now, when I say Isser of Shehiyah, what do I mean? You're not allowed to put food on a fire on Erev Shabbos, Samuch Lechashecha, because if you do, what might you end up doing?
Just the knobs.
You might go ahead and say, ooh. Now, again, when you're putting on the fire on Erev Shabbos, you're putting it on raw or cooked?
Raw.
You put it on raw. And now, it's cooking slow. Not cooking fast enough. You need the food for Friday night. It's cooking too slow. So what are you going to end up doing? You're going to stoke the coals. By stoking the coals, you're going to accelerate the bishul. That is a gzera derabonan. Shehiya is a gzera derabonan. Shema yachate bikachol. Who says there is such a gzera?
The
Chachamim. How do the Chachamim solve the problem? Does it mean you're not allowed to put food on the fire on Erev Shabbos? No, you are allowed to, as long as you do something that will militate your compunction to rake coals, to stoke coals. What is going to do that? One of two possibilities. Well, if you sweep away the coals, then I ain't going to do what? Stoke the coals. Because militate. If I get rid of the coals, then I'm not going to stoke the coals. If the coals are covered with ash, I'm saying, ooh, my coals are covered with ash. Why did I cover the coals with ash? Because a heker, so I don't go ahead and stoke the coals. So shihia is solved. The problem of the isser of shihia, I might come to stoke the coals, is solved by doing goruf v'katum. That's goruf v'katum is what we call, again, goruf means to sweep away the coals, katum means to put something on top of the coals as a heker. The modern day blech serves what purpose? That's a heker. That's essentially what we call kotum. Our modern day blech is establishing kotum, and that is what will remind us, don't go ahead and stoke the coals. So you have a fundamental machlokus, whether there is an isser of shehiyah. Everyone agrees there's an isser of chazara, whether there is an isser of shehiyah. How do we paskin in this machlokus? Is there an isser of shehiyah? So I just put a few mamakomas for myself just to remind me. Look at Rashi. Lamed Vav, is there a Rashi? Divra Masla Machzirin? Lamed Vav Mebe somewhere?
There's the low
machzirin
on the bottom.
Low machzirin? Af machzirin? Okay, never mind. Anyway, the position of... Ah, there it is. The position of Chachmei Ashkenaz. Chachmei Ashkenaz, if you look at Tosis at the end of the sugi. Now, the first two block in this Perek Tunei Blatter, Rai is back and forth, whether you hold like Hanani or not. If you look at Lamed Chesem at Beis, at the end of the sugya, I believe, there's a Tosis there, perhaps. Is there a Tosis there? Ah, no, not Lamed Chesem Beis. Lamed Zayin Amid Beis. Look at Lamed Zayin Amid Aleph Tosis. La'olam. La'olam. Is there a La'olam there? Yeah, La'olam. Ah. So Tosis writes, La'olam, top of Lamed Zayin Amid Aleph. You don't have it. I have it. You don't have it. Mishum de Kaimalan Kechananya. We pass in like Chananya. And Rashi and Av Lamed Zayin Amid Beis. Div Masal Rav Sheshes. You don't have it. But I have it. Rashi as well says, Kaimalan Ke. Ah. He says we paskin like the kol hani amoroi that the sta'asri savim asisin lishos tanan, and we paskin, says Rashi, lishos tanan. The psak of Chachmei Ashkenaz is lishos tanan. Comes along the Rambam, and the Rambam seems to paskin not like the shita of Chachamim, that the Isser is an Isser Chazar, not Shehiyah. And then there's a beautiful comment of the Rush. I love this comment of the Rush. It's fantastic. The Rush is found in Perek Gimel in Maseches Shabbos, Simen Aleph. And the Rush has a long piece over here. If you're ever learning Hilchos Shabbos, Halacha Lamaisa with the Beis Yosef, look how long this Rush is. One column, two column, three column, four column, five column Rush. Back and forth, Rai is for Hananya, because the whole sugya, a lengthy comment, and then at the end, he says, like the following, listen to his language. It's a lot of positions over here. Now remember, he says, Ubishvil Shirobu Deos, a lot of positions over here, Baha'i Piska, the Yisrael Adukim B'mitzvas Onek Shabbos. And the Jewish people love what? They love Onik Shabbos. And then he says, V'lo yishma'u lahachmir. And if we are machmir for them, you know what? They love Onik Shabbos so much that they're not going to listen anyway. So he says, Hanach lahem, leave them be, keminik shenoagu al pi haposkim kechananya. I misspoke over there. Before I said we pass Chachmei Ashkenaz like Chananya, I think I said. I meant Chachamim. In other words, the Chachmei Ashkenaz, what did I say? I'm sorry, the opposite. Whatever I said was... Let me just double check. Okay, so the opposite then. The Rambam like Chachamim. The Rambam's like Chachamim. Chachmei Ashkenaz like Chananya, Lekula. Okay, I said it right, fine. And now what the Rosh says, where did the Rosh live?
Germany, and then he moved to...
Yes, he lived in Germany, and then he migrated south to Toledo, Spain. So it's interesting. The Rush was part of Chachmei Ashkenaz or Chachmei Sfarad. Definitely Chachmei Ashkenaz, but at the end of his life, he headed south. He headed to Spain. So the Rush writes over here, what are you going to do? The Jewish people love Onik Shabbos. They love hot food on Shabbos. So you're going to go ahead and be Machmir and say that you can't do Shehiyah without Garfa Katan, which means my Friday night meal is going to be what?
Cold.
My Shabbos morning, I can't have chulent? Because what's going to happen? I'm going to cover up the fire with Gar, I'm going to clear away the ash, I can't have chulent Friday morning. Yisrael are adukin ba'onik Shabbos. They love onik Shabbos. And therefore, lo yishmu'u lahachmir. They're not going to be listening to us. And hanach lahem. What does hanach lahem mean? Leave them be. Kaminik shenogal pipos and chananya. They call zeh beinyan shahayik moshkaz rabbein chanal, etc. Now, if I were to ask you, what is the psak of the Rush? What does the Rush think? What does the Rush think? Is he being machmir? Is he being mekel? So it's very fascinating. If you look through Shas, The term hanach lahem, leave them be. The Rush is giving shorthand. Hanach lahem has a continued statement. It says hanach lahem, and then there's a hemshek to the statement hanach lahem. And if you look at the Shas, hanach lahem is followed in two different instances by two different concepts. One of them goes like this. Hanach lahem, leave them be. Keep your mouth shut. Don't tell them to change their ways. After all, mutav shishogegin velo yumezidim. Don't say anything. Because if you say something, they're not going to listen anyway. So hanach lahem. Better that they should vaad yisur b'shoge, keep your mouth shut, than vaad yisur b'mezid. That's one hanach lahem. But there's another hanach lahem you find in Shas. Hanach lahem, leave them be. Because after all, im lo neviim heim, b'nei neviim heim. If they're not what? Themselves neviim, but they're the offspring of neviim. And therefore leave them be. Those two hanach lahems are radically different. And both of them can be read into the Rush. The Rush says, the first one for sure can be read in. The Jews love Oneg Shabbos. Lo yishma'u, they're not going to listen, lahachmir, and therefore hanach lahem kaminik shenogal piposim kachananya. Leave them be. Why leave them be? Because they're not going to listen to us anyway. So muta yishishokim v'ali meizin. The real psak should be what? Lahachmir, that they shouldn't do it. They shouldn't do it, but hanach lahem. Leave them be, they're not going to listen anyway, better they should have erb b'shog ben b'meiz. That's one way to read this Rush. The other way to read this Rush is, lo yishma'u lahachmir, they're not going to listen to us. And after all, hanach lahem, because if this is minug Yisrael, if this is their minug, shenogo pia posim chananya, the Jewish people have a halachic intuition. And good, they're not Nevi'im, but they're the children of Nevi'im, and therefore they have a certain halachic intuition, and if they're not going to listen to us, you know why they're not going to listen to us? Because they're right. The minug Yisrael is the proper thing to do, which means... And that's a fundamentally different... he just said hanach lahem. It would have been nice had he finished the sentence. Two different ways of reading the Rush. Yeah?
Don't you think it's a little bit too lenient? They have an intuition...
That's what it means. That's what this means. Hanach lahem, muta, hanach lahem, im lo neviim heim, b'nei neviim heim. So what that means is, and for example, sometimes you have machlokas in the base of matters. What does the Gemara tell us? Pok chazi mai amadvar. What is Pok Chazi Mayim Advar? You have Machlokas in the base matters. Where she decided to shine in the base matters. No. Pok Chazi, go out to the street and see what the people say. See what the conduct is, what Minag Yisrael is, and that becomes halacha. Minag Yisrael is 100% a source of halachic practice if it's real Minag. I'm not talking about certain people have leniencies. When I say leniencies, their leniencies are emanating from, they don't want to, they want... Okay, smoking on Yantif. Smoking on Yantif is not a great example. We'll use that as an example since you bring opposite of other things. But smoking on Yantif was done by many, many, many people. The Mogen Avraham, in fact, in the 17th century, says that smoking on Yantif is mutter because it's a very healthy thing to do. Smoking was believed to be healthy. And since, in the past 40, 50 years, we've become a little wiser and we've learned that it's not so healthy. Now, and there's been a radical shift. Whereas it used to be that everyone smoked. It's a minority of people that smoke. And with that radical shift, halacha changes. What I mean by halacha changes, in order to go ahead and light a cigarette, you have to extend the flame. Extending the flame is mutter on Shabbos if it's letzorech ochel nefesh, or we say mitoch shehuch, sorry, mutter on yantif if it's letzorech ochel nefesh, or mitoch shehuch letzorech ochel nefesh, hutcher namish letzorech ochel nefesh, as long as it's a dover hashaveh l'chol nefesh. It has to be shaveh l'chol nefesh. And today, smoking objectively is l'chora not a dover hashaveh l'chol nefesh, and since it's not a dover hashaveh l'chol nefesh, it becomes usser on yantif. That becomes normative halacha. On the flip side of that, it has become much more common for people to bathe every single day. With indoor plumbing, people bathe every single day. Wasn't always that way. 60, 70, 100 years ago, people bathed once or twice a week. They didn't bathe every single day. It was much more challenging to get a hot shower. So today, arguably, one can make an argument, not saying well, halach or not, but arguably one can make an argument that heating up water for a hot shower on Yontif might be mutter, because that might be called a davar hashav l'chol nefesh. Mitok shutz l'chol nefesh, shutzunami, shutzok, if it's davar hashav l'chol nefesh, again, I'm not talking about that halach l'maisa, but the idea of minig yisra, pok chazi, my amadvar, is very, very relevant over here. So here we have a fundamental machlokas. We've shown him, and the rush stands in the middle, l'halacha, the rush tilts us. The rush is mekil, and the bialacha in Simon Reish on Nun Gimel is sensitive to this kula. But lechatchila we pass like chacham, and that means that we lechatchila do not leave food on Shabbos, on erev Shabbos, to become cooked on Shabbos unless we have garuf v'katim. Now, what qualifies as garuf v'katim? So everyone agrees that garuf v'katim certainly would qualify. A blech is garuf v'katim. The flame is covered, and now if you have food that is already cooked Kamaichel Ben Drusai, so even according to some Rishon already, it's already Mavushal. But even if you assume it's not Mavushal, what are you doing on Shabbos? You're doing nothing on Shabbos. You're putting the food on the fire Erev Shabbos, doing nothing on Shabbos. The only concern is Gzeira Shema Yachate B'Gecholim. That concern is obviated with a blech. And therefore, it is mutter if the food is Michael Ben Jusai. That is Me'ikr Hadin, the case. We try to be machmir when it comes to, most people, when they put food in the Bir Lachas, just a chumra, to have the food already mevushal called tzarko before we leave it on the blech. But Me'ikr Hadin, if you have garfa katum, it would be permissible. Now, there is a very important kula, which can come up halach l'maisa. And that is, what's the reason that? What's the concern over here? What's the concern? The concern is you might come to
adjust the flame,
stoke the coals. Good. Now, which food are we talking about? Food that you're having for Friday night, or food that you're having for Shabbos day?
Shabbos day.
So, if you're talking about food for Shabbos day, think about it for a second. Think about it for a second. Back in the day, how big is this fire? Not so big. So, by the time you're going to go ahead and have your Shabbos day food. Shabbos day didn't have chum. By Shabbos day food, what would you do? You'd have your food cleared away. You'd have your food cleared away. Or let's say, pastures, we're talking about Friday night food. But where are you going to stoke the coals? And it's going to be ready for Friday. It's not cooking fast enough. You want it to be ready for Friday night. So the post can have the following kula. It's already in the Gemara Masechta Shabbos Daf Yuches. This is called a kula called Kedera Chaisa. When are we concerned about this problem? If the food, how long does it take food to normally cook? Average dish. 2 hours, 2.5 hours, 3 hours. Let's say. So you put the food on the fire, Erev Shabbos Kodesh. It's halfway cooked. You're going to go to shul, come back. You want it nice and hot and ready. Aser, unless you have garfu katan, because let's say it's going too slow, you're going to stoke the coals. But let's say you take a raw piece of meat, and you put it on the fire on Erev Shabbos Samuch Lechashecha. So, Mimamshach, is it going to be ready tonight? No. Is it definitely going to be ready by tomorrow morning? Yes. So, it's not going to be ready tonight, no matter what I do. It's definitely going to be ready tomorrow morning, no matter what I do. So, is there a concern, Shema Yachatev Cholim? No concern. And therefore, the post can say, it's not the post, it's Gemara, Shabbos Yurches, that if you have Kedei Rechaisa, what does Kedei Rechaisa mean? A raw pot that you put on the fire right when Shabbos begins, a few minutes before Shabbos begins, that should be mutter even without a blech. Because Mimarovshach, it's not going to be ready tonight, and it will be ready tomorrow. That's Medina de Gemara. Does this apply halacha l'maisa b'zman hazeh?
Why not?
So it should apply, but maybe it doesn't. Number one is, when do we start Shabbos b'zman hazeh?
Depends.
Doesn't really depend. When in New York area, when do you start Shabbos?
Six.
Not six. Shkia, not Shkia. We start. Candle lighting is typically 18 minutes before Shkia. In Yerushalayim of Ira Kodesh, when do you start Shabbos?
50 minutes before Shkia.
40 minutes before Shkia. We start Shabbos very, very early. Whether it's 18 minutes or 40 minutes before Shkia. But is Shkia the beginning of Shabbos?
Yes.
It might be, but it also might not be. So when we put up the fire, we're going to have to put it up 18, 30, 40 minutes before Shabbos starts. Is that considered right before Shabbos starts? Not 100% clear, because we're machmir to start Shabbos earlier than perhaps is necessary. Perhaps. That's one issue. Second issue is, our flames, we have the ability to cook faster than they did. And then perhaps some argue that Kedei Rechaisa may be less relevant Bizman HaZeh because we can cook much faster than they do, and if we stoke the flames or if we raise the flame, it might indeed be ready when? Already Friday night. There's one exception to that rule. What's the exception to that rule? Cholent. Your crock pots. Your crock pots, by definition, what's the word in English? What do they call it? Slow cookers. They're called slow cookers. If you have a slow cooker that's designed, the whole design of the cooker is to cook slowly. If you put your cholent up right before Shabbos, it's not going to be ready Friday night, no matter what. And it will be ready Shabbos morning, no matter what. So in that case, a slow cooker, the heter of Kedera Chaisa should be in place. Now, it is relevant what you're putting into the crock pot. If you're putting meat, that takes a long time. Barley takes a long time. Some kinds of foods might be more Kali HaBishol-like. They might go fast. But if you're talking about something like meat, you throw a piece of meat in, that is not going to be ready for Friday night. You can apply the rule of Kedera Chaisa into your Friday night crock pot, Friday late afternoon crock pot situation. By the way, is a crock pot considered to be Garuf V'Katum?
If you cover the dial.
So the Possum suggests, number one, maybe the crock pot is inherently Garuf V'Katum. Maybe it's inherently Garuf V'Katum. Why might it be inherently Garuf V'Katum?
Because
where is the heat source? The heat source is already what?
Enclosed?
Concealed, right. It's not the fire is not exposed, yes? But you have the adjustable knobs. So it's the same as a stove top. Same as a stove top. When it comes to a stove top, so you have a fire and you have adjustable. So we generally assume, even if you don't have the thing that covers the knobs, if you cover the fire, that is already a sufficient hacker. Question is, if it's built in, is that called a hacker? My practice, my recommendation is if you're not relying on Kedera Chaisa with your slow cooker, you should put a piece of tape or something over the knobs, and that will satisfy your Garuf V'Katum issue when it comes to a slow cooker. And that is, and that's the basics of Shehiya. Ideally, what you want to do is you want to have the food on the fire before Shabbos, at least have it Michael Ben-Jusoy, then we rely on a blech, and that is how you solve your Shehiya problem. Just as an aside, before Eli Rubin has to bounce. And that is the following just thought. Why is Shehiya Aser?
Gzera.
Why is Chazara Aser? So Chazara is also, some refer to it as a Gzera, Shema Yachate, that's mentioned in the Rishonim, but it's also Aser because it's Mechzi Kimevash. Rav Shechter has a very, very beautiful essay where he distinguishes between gzeros and something like chazara mechzi kimevash. What does mechzi kimevash mean? Mechzi kimevash, it looks like bishul, but it's more than that. It is bishul. It is bishul derabbanan. Because after all, what are you doing when it comes to Shia? What are you doing on Shabbos when it comes to Shia? Nothing. You did everything on Erev Shabbos. What are you doing when it comes to Chazara?
You're just putting something back.
What do you mean by you're doing Bishul? What do you do when you do Bishul?
It's not Bishul.
What do you do when you do Bishul?
You put it on.
You put food on the fire. You put food on the fire. With a t'nai. What's the t'nai? That it was uncooked and now it's... But your pu'ula is the same exact pu'ula. You're taking food off a fire that's not on the fire, putting it on a fire. It's the same exact pu'ula as bishul. So who knows what's inside the pot?
Everyone.
No one. I know, but no one else knows. So what does it look like?
Pot.
It looks like a pot that you put on the fire. That's exactly what I do when I cook. It's exactly what it looks like. It's mechzi kimevash. Rav Shechter suggests that this might not be a gzera. Oh, someone sees you and they might come to cook. But if it looks like cooking, even though it's missing the tnai, ain bishl achar bishl, but midirabanan, bishl, putting food on the fire, is called bishl. Now, midirabanan, yesh bishl achar bishl. That's the suggestion. Now, one second, let me just flesh out a thought. He says an interesting idea. You guys learning about the Kama? Have you all? We've discussed it here already, but the Nimuk Yosef, the famous Nimuk Yosef.
Cool.
Everyone's covered in it. You've had the Nimuk Yosef. Hadlakas Neiros, Nimuk Yosef. You've learned that.
We discussed it here.
Lighting. How does we pass an Eish Mishum Chitzo? Eish Mishum Chitzo. So how can you go ahead and
light
Shabbos candles? It's your mice even on Shabbos. That's the famous Kasha Nimuk Yosef. Salvation that said there was no kasha. Not bothered by the kasha. Why not bother by the kasha? Because to be over the iser of Meleches Shabbos, you need a maisa on Shabbos. Kol melacha lo ta'aseh biyom haShabbos. You cannot violate an iser melacha if it's not Shabbos. You need a maisa on Shabbos. Set of check, that's true by Doraisas for sure. But it's even true when it comes to malachos derabana. There is no iser meleches Shabbos, even midrabana, without asiyah b'Shabbos. Does Chazara have asiyah b'Shabbos? Yes. Yes. Putting food on the fire.
It's more of a pool than a
maisa. It's a maisa. The pool of maisa for these purposes is the same thing. Does Shehiyah have a maisa on Shabbos?
No.
No. Gzeira de Rabbanan, Gzeira Shema Yavo, that can be also even on Erev Shabbos, lest you do something on Shabbos. A malacha must be on Shabbos itself. That's the answer to the Mukhi Yosef's Kasha. He wanted to argue a chumrah of the month. Here's a chumrah. Are you allowed to set an alarm clock on Erev Shabbos to wake you up on Shabbos? So, chumrah of the month is what are you doing when you set an alarm clock? What are you causing to happen?
A sound to go off.
Hashmas kol. Is Hashmas kol aser or mutter on Shabbos itself?
Aser.
Can you start playing musical instruments? Can you put on your radio? No, you can't be mashmiya kol. Aser. Why is it aser? Is it a malacha or is it a gzeira? It's a gzeira. Xera, you might come to fix a musical instrument. Xera, that can even be us, or when? On Erev Shabbos. To go ahead and set up a situation where it will be Hashmos Kol on Shabbos, that could be us, or even on Erev Shabbos. He suggests that in his piece, Eretz HaTzvi. Shmir Shabbos disagrees. Minhag Olam is not that way. Pokhazi Maya Madvar. But a fascinating, fascinating chumrah that might come out. I'll give you one more chumrah. Erev Pesach Shechalios B'Shabbos. When do you sell your chametz?
Friday.
You sell your chametz Friday. Do you eat chametz on Shabbos? Yes, you do. So what's happening is, you do the Maisa Kinyan on Friday, but the Chalos Kinyan takes place when? On Shabbos. Is that allowed? Can you affect a Chalos Kinyan on Shabbos when the Maisa happened on Erev Shabbos? It's a delayed Chalos. So why can't you make Kinyanim on Shabbos? Gzeira Shema Yichtov. You might come to write. But Chivega says, he questions whether you can sell your chametz in that fashion on Erev Shabbos because the Chalos is happening on Shabbos and maybe the Gzeira can happen even on Erev Shabbos. The precedent for that idea is Shehiyah. Okay, we will stop here and we'll pick it up later in the week. Excellent evening.
100%.
And if you remember our discussion of the Meleches Kosher, where I distinguished between
the Rambam and the
Rif and doing the Malacha without the Tanai versus Tanai without the Malacha, Malacha that the Tanai is a Malacha Drabban. the Tanai without the Malacha, that would be a Gzeirah Drabbanan and would have perhaps some nafkaminas.
Is the Bula of Bishl really putting food?